afternoon. And it is a pleasure to be here today and to share with you our findings on pre-pregnancy obesity and the initiation duration of breastfeeding in Los Angeles County. It seems like we've had a great foundation with our first presentation and the second presentation, really getting organizations into helping promote breastfeeding, and now hopefully we're going to help start focusing on obesity, which is unfortunately a growing trend, not only in Los Angeles County, but throughout the country. And so I hope that you'll be able to understand complications that are associated with obesity, as well as the differences that we have found in continuing and starting breastfeeding in obese women, and more importantly, the ethnic differences, because as we have seen in the other presentations, ethnicity really does play a role. And as we all know, obesity is an epidemic in our country. It's growing, and you can see this map of the country, that the darker areas are the areas of higher obesity throughout. And more importantly, in focusing in Los Angeles County, one in three women of reproductive age is either obese or overweight by the time that they become pregnant. So this is really an epidemic in our county, and LA County delivers 2% of the nation's population, so it really is a big impact in terms of what is happening to the state statistics and to the national statistics. In looking at our data, also, we have found that Hispanic and African American women are unfortunately oftentimes affected more by obesity, and we know that obesity is inversely related with education as well as socioeconomic status. So it's not really surprising when we start to look at the disparities of obesity. And we know that, unfortunately, as well, obesity really impacts not just the mom, but the mom's health. And this schematic really shows all of the impacts of obesity on her health, with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and everything else, all the ripple effect on the mom's health in terms of obesity. Now, we're all here learning and wanting to share more ideas on breastfeeding, and I think this is just a highlight of what we already know. I'm preaching to the choir when I'm telling you that breastfeeding really is very beneficial for the baby as well as for the mom. You know, we know all of the health benefits and developmental benefits for the baby and for the mom. Really, when we start to talk about improving her health, it makes a difference. And the biggest win that I oftentimes have for women in terms of really continuing to breastfeed, because the point was brought up, well, what about initiation and then the continuation, is just telling her, well, you know, if you breastfeed exclusively, it's about 500 kilocalories a day, which is like a really good workout. And so that in and of itself is a big impetus. And so, you know, that's a big driver. And for society, there's obviously effects, benefits. But we wanted to know, okay, we know that there's benefits for breastfeeding for mom, for baby, and here we have a growing issue in our county in terms of obesity. Is there a difference in terms of breastfeeding in these two arenas, and how can we impact it, and what's happening? So we use the LAM data, and for those of you who are not familiar with LAM, LAM is very similar to PRAMS survey, and this is a cross-sectional population-based survey. It's a stratified random sample, and the information is collected on events that occur before, during, and shortly after pregnancy, very similar to the PRAMS data, except LA County developed its own. And our inclusion criteria is that the moms had to have delivered within the past 7 months. And the procedures, we obtained population data from the birth certificates, and we did a stratified random sampling, and we looked at the age, race, ethnicity, as well as the geographic area. LA County is over 4,000 square miles, so we would be at the eighth largest state, just depending on size. It's a self-administered survey that is administered either in English, Spanish, and Chinese, because there is a very large Chinese population in Los Angeles County. And these surveys were followed up with three reminders, whether they be letters, phone calls, to really try and motivate the women to participate and answer the surveys. And they did receive an incentive, and the incentive that they received was a $25 grocery gift card. So it was quite helpful. And you can see our response rate, the most recent one was 6,500 respondents just in LA County for our survey. Some of the study variables that we looked at, the dependent variables, and you can see the questions specifically that we looked at, Or did you ever breastfeed or pump breast milk to feed your new baby after delivery? How many weeks or months did you breastfeed or pump milk to feed your baby? And we looked at covariates such as educational level, maternal age, race, ethnicity, medical conditions during pregnancy, insurance status, and whether or not they were a smoker. Exposure variables, we actually calculated the BMI from the birth certificate, and now in California, the BMI is part of the birth certificate, so that's now easily accessible. And we did statistical analysis that was descriptive, bivariate analysis, as well as logistic regression modeling, and all analysis used SAS 9.3. So our results. So in the data that I will be presenting, we looked at 6,044 singleton births, and we had a response rate to the survey of about 56%. 38.3% of the respondents were overweight or obese before pregnancy. Okay, so I'm going to talk more about that in the end. 85% of all women actually did initiate breastfeed, and 54% were breastfeeding at 3 months, and 45% at 6 months. And we're going to go into some of those differences. In terms of breastfeeding initiation, you can see the obese women are the ones that are in yellow, and they had the lowest rate of initiation, and that was at 85%. At 3 months, it was at 54%. Again, they were the lowest. And at 6 months, they were the lowest again at 45%. So initiation is really critical, because we have to look at the fact, okay, well, why is it that the moms have a lower initiation rate? Well, then we've got to look at the bigger picture. And it's not just the fact that they may be delivering in a baby-friendly hospital. It's the fact that perhaps they have a 40 to 60% likelihood of having had a C-section because of the fact that they were obese. Maybe that they had a premature baby because they had developed hypertension during pregnancy. And now, you know, they're separated from the baby, and being able to pump, or just the colostrum, or there could have been medical complications or a medication, again, secondary to the obesity, that complicates their ability to actually pump or breastfeed the baby. So all of these factors we have to really look at, and that's what we're going to be starting to do, because they really do play an impact in the initiation of breastfeeding, and then the continuation, so at 3 months and at 6 months. In terms of initiation and duration by ethnicity, you can see here that really, and this is for obese women overall, that there was an overall the lowest rate of initiation was among African American women, but still there's over close to about 80% initiation among all ethnicities, looking at Hispanic, Latina, African American, Asian, Pacific Islanders, as well as white. And you can see that at 3 months, it starts to drop off, but in particular with the African American population, and even lower at 6 months with the African American population. So overall, race, ethnicity was not a predictor for breastfeeding initiation. Most women started to breastfeed. And women of color, so this is a critical piece, had a higher risk of discontinuing breastfeeding at 3 months and at 6 months. So if your color was something other than, you know, white, then you probably were not going to be breastfeeding at 3 months or 6 months. And going back to the previous presentations, it could be that it's the work site that is not very supportive, or you just never started to breastfeed from the beginning, that it made it more difficult for you to even continue if you never even started. The multivariate analysis, just to highlight, and you know, this was reviewed in terms of odd ratio in the first presentation, obese moms were least likely to initiate breastfeeding. Again, was it because of the fact that maybe they had C-sections, medical complications, a preemie baby? We have not looked at that, and that's something that we are now going to start to look at and really come up with some initiatives to help obese women. Obese women were more likely or most likely to stop breastfeeding within the first 3 and 6 months. And things that were negatively associated with breastfeeding. So breastfeeding was not started if the mom was younger, smoking prior to pregnancy, was single, had late entry into prenatal care, or had a cesarean delivery. And this is overall. So these are the things that we have found that really impact the breastfeeding initiation to start off. So some of the strengths, the population-based is increasing generalizability. Yes, for those of you who don't recognize this, those are the McDonald's arches now backwards in the form of breath. Our study includes undocumented immigrants, so you know it really is a very representative sample of the population in Los Angeles County, and culturally appropriate designed as well, the LAM survey in terms of languages and availability. And for those women in terms of health literacy level, we also had survey available as a questionnaire over the phone, so that if they could not read or they had a difficulty with understanding, there was actually somebody speaking to them and asking them the questions so that they can participate and we can get that information from them. And we obviously need further research. As I said, we haven't even looked at all of the influences, and really I think what needs to happen is to do some kind of directive research on the obese women who didn't start breastfeeding right at the time, and trying to understand, was it the C-section, was it the medical complications, what was it that made it more difficult for you to start breastfeeding? So in conclusion, we know that a high pre-pregnancy obesity or overweight can lead to decreased breastfeeding initiation, but where do we go from here? Well, preconception helps. If we can get women to get to a healthy weight before they even become pregnant, I think we can start to decrease some of that pre-pregnancy obesity, pre-pregnancy overweight issue, and hopefully will increase that breastfeeding initiation. And the other thing is, once a woman has had breastfeeding initiation and she is obese, it's really important to help her with that interconception health piece so that we can actually help women try and get to a healthier weight. And she is the first role model for that baby. So if mom is obese, mom is overweight, that's what the baby's going to see. That's how the baby's going to learn to eat and exercise and view their health. And so one of the things that we're doing in LA County is developing a postpartum obesity reduction program in which we're actually including breastfeeding as one of our big initiatives. And we have come to find out that there really isn't a program that's focusing on obese women. It is physiologically more difficult because of the increased fat in the woman's body to start the breast milk letdown. So we're starting to look at various modalities, various initiatives to try and help support and increase that milk production, or at least the colostrum initially, so that we can create some evidence and some best practice and hopefully be able to share it throughout LA County and beyond. But we've come to realize that that is one area that really needs a lot of attention, so that if anybody has any recommendations, any ideas, I would be more than happy to speak to you. And the final piece is that preconception health really leads to that interconception piece, and it's a real important cycle, and it just really doesn't stop with the mom. It continues in on with that baby, because again, the mom is the first teacher for that baby and for the family. So in terms of opportunities and how can we actually change this, I pulled this slide from when the ACA actually was passed into law, and I think there are two great opportunities right now that we can all leverage to help increase and support women with breastfeeding, and that is the well woman visits, which are now covered under the ACA without any copay. So it doesn't matter whether or not you're participating in the health exchanges, your health plan should be covering it come 2014, 2015, if your employer is over 50,000 employees. And now breastfeeding support and supplies and counseling are covered. So if we can come up as, you know, the public health innovators and public health leaders to help support women, we've got some policy in place already that can really help our patients, and hopefully both will meet and we can really improve the breastfeeding and the health of women in this country. So with that, I thank you. Great.